And that has been true throughout the ages into the early church when this was done in the ancient churches. Mm-hmm. A cross, two candles. If you were to have three candles on either side, it represents the Trinity. There should always... I always tried to teach my couples when I was marrying them. They thought they were going to school, but I required six sessions with them and that kind. And to try to say, the marriage ceremony is a worship service. And I was saying, what you have, don't just have a whole bunch of candles. The florist sells you. I hope I'm not getting in trouble here. But I said, you need to have your candles in seven branches, the seven gifts of the Spirit. And that's what it means. And you know, make it liturgically correct. And I had one little girl who was very interested in that. And because she'd come all her life, you know, she said, "What all those candles mean?" I said, $4 a piece. that's about as far as you could go. There was no meaning Christian in terms of worship, but the two candles, I strayed. I have really strayed this morning. But I'm trying to set you up for the rest of the day and giving you this magnificent background. So you go into the gospel, and I know all of you brought your Bibles. And that we have talked about. And if you looked at the first chapter of John, you read into it, keep in mind what we've talked about here for the last few minutes about what the concern was. In fact, I want to go over here a ways, fellas. I will really toy with you before the day's over. By the way, we're going to talk about John the Baptist here, because John the Baptist is a major player in the first chapter of John. And there's a reason that he's a major player. It's very clear, and he had a lot of disciples. You know, a lot of people could not get out of their mind that Jesus was the Messiah and not John. And again, we keep using the word Messiah. Messiah is a Hebrew word for the anointed one. In Greek, it's Christ, Christus. And so you just need to, they're the same thing. But in the Greek world, where most of John was written, and most of all the Pauline writings occur, the word Christ is appropriate rather than Messiah, because anyone know who you're talking about if you were to say the Messiah. But Messiah was a Hebrew. But in the community of John, there was a strong Jewish representation of some of those people who were Jewish Christians and some who were Christian Jews. Then when they moved into Turkey or Asia Minor, then Gentiles, people who were not Jews. A Gentile, definition of a Gentile, some people say, well, that's a non-Jew. Well, that's true. The word Gentile translated means pagan. And therefore, Hebrews, Jews, thought that anybody that was not a Jew was a pagan. And so Gentiles were the people across the land. As they began to come into the church, it became a mix of people. So therefore, in writing John, way down the track, they were far more Hellenistic or Greek than they were of their old Jewish traditions. And so these things come in, like, for example, in the beginning was the Word, and that Word was God. And the Word was Logos, L-O-G-O-S. That's the Greek word. Now, let me take a minute to tell you about Logos. I'm taking a minute to tell you about this and that. But Logos is the word for, and we're talking about the Gentiles, the pagans. They didn't believe in one God. They believed in many gods. And so, but if they said Logos, Jesus knew and John knew more that their highest, even the pagans, their highest concept of who God was was Logos, was the word Logos. Better than any, the best of the bestest. You know, it didn't come near understanding who God was, the Logos, in terms of Jesus, but they knew it was. So they used the word Logos in the beginning, trying to teach these people who live in out in the hinterland. We're not talking about Jerusalem anymore. We're not talking about Capernaum. We're not even talking about Antioch. We're talking about Ephesus for the teaching. So in the beginning, if you want to study Christianity, in the beginning was God. And they used the word Logos, so it would perk their ears up. And they would say, boy, they're serious. The best and the biggest. You know, it was beyond the highest thought you ever had of who God was. They had a God for this and a God for that. You know, many, many gods. But Logos always stood out for them as the supreme. So in the beginning was the supreme God, the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In other words, Jesus didn't show up, did not come into being when he showed up. That's when his ministry. But God has always been. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. And through him all things came into being. Not one thing came into being except through him. Now what has come into being in him was life. And this is where John introduces word life and light. Life that was the light of men. And light shines in darkness, and darkness could not overpower it. Now those were terms that was used in the Hellenistic world. Light symbolized God's presence. Darkness signaled the evil world. So as they told the story of Jesus, they were appealing to these people who had a different background. Listen to this. A man came sent by God. His name was John. To bear witness to the light, so that everyone might believe through him. He was not the light. He was to bear witness to the light. Now then, there were those John disciples way out there in Ephesus who believed that John the Baptist might be more important than Jesus. And so here, trying to put the record straight, right here in the first few verses, he says, John said, I'm not the light. I've come to bear witness. So to put that, you know, to bed, he was not the light. He was to bear witness to the light. The Word was the real light that gives light to everyone. He was coming into the world. He was in the world that had come into being through him. And the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave the power to become children of God. But to those who did not accept him, he gave power. But to those who, believed in his name, who were born not from human stock. Listen to this now. Keep in mind the Gnostics. To those who believe in his name, who were born not from human stock or human desire or human will, but from the will of God. The Word became flesh. They hadn't heard anything like that. And flesh, by the way, it was used there, was a Greek word that was flesh, meat. He became human. It wasn't a fancy word. He lived among us, and we saw his glory, the glory from the Father. And it says in here, of course, then a man came from God whose name was John the Baptist. And he praised him. But he said that John the Baptist spent all of his time, said, I'm not the one. You see, this is being written years later when that was still hanging around. Now, I want to go and show you a clip of a film of John.
God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell people about the light so that all should hear the message and believe.
They're the actual words of the Bible.
He himself was not the light.
Words in this.
He came to tell, not the light.
Other than good news for modern man.
Was the real light. A light that comes into the world and shines on all people.
This is the one I was talking about when I said he comes after me. But he is greater than I am. Because he existed before I was born.
The Jewish authorities in Jerusalem sent some priests and Levites to John.
Who are you?
I am not the Messiah.
Who are you then?
Are you Elijah?
No, I'm not.
Are you the prophet?
No.
Then tell us who you are.
We have to take an answer back to those who sent us.
What do you say about yourself?
I am the voice of someone shouting in the desert.
Make a straight path for the Lord to travel!
The next day, John saw Jesus coming to him.
He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me. But
that's
he is greater than
John and Andrew.
Because he existed before I was born. I did not know who he would be. But I came baptizing with water in order to make him known to the people of Israel. I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and stay on him. I still did not know that he was the one, but God, who sent me to baptize with water, had said to me, you will see the Spirit come down and stay on a man. He is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen it, and I tell you that he is the Son of God.
What are you looking for?
Where do you live?
Rabbi. Come and see.
It was then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so they went with him and saw where he lived and spent the rest of that day with him. One of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. At once he found his brother Simon.
We have found the Messiah.
Your name is Simon, son of John. But you will be called Cephas.
This is the same as Peter and means a rock. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee.
Capernaum.
He found Philip.
Come with me.
Not mentioned in Matthew, Mark, or Luke.
Philip was from Bethsaida, the town where Andrew and Peter lived. Philip found Nathanael.
Not mentioned in Matthew, Mark.
We have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the book of the law, and whom the prophets also wrote about. He is Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth.
Can anything good come from Nazareth?
Come and see.
When Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, he said about him, "Here is a real Israelite.
There is nothing false in him."
Okay. To give you some hint, some visual hint of the first chapter. I know time is gone, but I had a professor in seminary who said, as a young man, he went to the University of Basel in order to study under Karl Barth, and said, it was studying the Gospel of John, and said the opening day he was talking about, in the beginning was the Word, six words. And he began to go into the Greek and all the different things and all the background. That afternoon, my professor said he received a call from home, said, "You need to come home. Your father is gravely ill." He went home, and his father died. He was home 6 weeks. And then he came back to University of Basel to Dr. Bart's class and said, "Dr. Bart said, now we're ending up today on those first six words. In the beginning was the Word." And for 6 weeks, he had taught on in the beginning was the Word. That's amazing. You may feel that way today, but I hope we've got you set up. Go in peace now, and may the peace of God go with each of you. See you at 9:45, hopefully.